Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here. This morning, we are continuing our series, Mountain Men. And we're going to be looking this morning at a gentleman by the name of Caleb. Caleb from the Old Testament. And learn a little bit about his life and the mountain in his life. I really, the story of Caleb is an exciting one. The whole promises that are made, the attitude that he has, even up until his old age, that he's still just as a go-getter, we'll see. But there's a lot to learn and apply, I believe, to our life through the life of Caleb. So the first thing we do is we start off and we look at the mountain involved in his life. This is known as Mount Hebron. Mount Hebron. Hebron is also known as the Hebron Hills. You might read that in Scripture as you come across it. It's a mountain range or a geographic region or a geological formation constituting the southern part of the Judean Mountains. They are located in the West Bank, southwest of Jerusalem, somewhere about 20-30 miles out. Hebron is considered to be the birthplace of the nation of Israel. In Jewish tradition, it is also considered to be the gateway to the Garden of Eden. Now, as we expressed before, sometimes I have difficulty understanding how they would know after the transformation of the flood. From where one place was before until after. But in Jewish tradition, this is what this mountain is referred to as. It was home to many key events in the lives of the patriarchs. Hebron is also the second most popular of the four holy cities in Judaism, along with Jerusalem, Tiberias, and Zophat. And so in the Bible, the Mount Hebron is where some of these events that we're going to look at and others, but of these happen. This is first where Abraham's tent, in other words, he settled in this area and set up his tent, or some translations will say his tabernacle in Hebron, and he built an altar to the Lord there. The Lord appeared to him for the first time in this area and gave him gave his people the land of Canaan. Also, what's significant about this mountain range or the Hebron Hills is that this is also where Abraham purchased the cave of Machlava the patriarchs buried. Ultimately, though, remember who he bought it for originally. He bought it for his wife, Sarah, who passed away at 127 years old. You realize that Sarah is the only woman in the Bible that we're ever given an age on. And she passes away. And so remember, he goes to the people there and buys this cave in this area, and this is where many of the patriarchs will be buried, and that's what our next point is. The patriarchs are buried there. According to tradition, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah are all buried in this cave, what is also known as the Cave of the Patriarchs. I do rephrase what I just said about Sarah. That was at her passing, because do we remember Jairus' daughter was 12 years old? So we don't want to forget that one. I did think of that one, but anyway, I didn't want to knowingly be a liar to you. I unintentionally may lie, but not intentionally. But anyway. And then, so we're going to talk about the man, Caleb, here himself. The story of Caleb, a faithful man of God, begins in the book of Numbers. After being delivered from bondage in Egypt. So he possibly, you know, grew up in Egypt there, having been born there, maybe with Joshua, and they were good buddies. Do we remember what tribe Joshua was from? Ephraim, very good. Do we remember what tribe Caleb was from? Judah, very good. Judah, and we'll see that that plays a part in this, at least I think it does, and as it unfolds, this Hebron, because if we remember, where did David, the king of Judah, right, the king of the Israelites, where did he reign from the first 7.5 years of his kingdom authority? Hebron. But anyway, so we'll just continue to look at this. After being delivered from the bondage in Egypt, the Israelites were led by God to the border of the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, that God had promised that they would inherit. Now remember this, we share that for a reason, that God had promised they would inherit. Moses then, remember, chose 12 men, one from each tribe, to scout out the land before entering. Among them was this man Caleb, representing, as we said, the tribe of Judah. The 12 men spied out the land for 40 days and then came back to Moses. Remember, 12 men went to spy on Canaan, right? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Or, yeah. Man, I'm lying to you guys like crazy today. But anyway, the 12 men spied out the land for 40 days, and then they came back to Moses. They reported that the land was indeed fruitful, but its inhabitants were mighty descendants of Anak. Terrified by the size and the strength of the Canaanites, remember, 10 of the spies warned Moses not to enter Canaan. Caleb silenced the murmuring, fearful men by saying this in Numbers 13:30. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now, this is what we want to start making application in our life, is that when even the great numbers tell us that something can't be done. Remember the passage of Scripture that was just read at the communion table. For with man, this may be impossible, but for God, nothing is impossible. It is possible to do this. And so I believe that Joshua and Caleb, as we're looking here today, that he was, remember what he said, he was told, they were all told that they could go take the land, go spy it out and see, check it out. He just kept remembering what Moses had told him, what God had told Moses, and he just kept saying, we can certainly do it. The majority of the people in your life stand up and say, no, you can't, no, you shouldn't. When it goes against God's promises, stick to God's plan. And Caleb remembered that. He was 40 years old, or right about there, when he was given this job. We're going to catch him then 45 years later, when he's 85 years old, and they're entering into the promised land, and we'll see how he continued all of those years to remember the promise that God not only made to him, but to all of Israel. But 10 said, nope, we can't do it. The majority said, boy, it looks good. Look at how big these grape clusters are. You know, I always imagine them coming back and then Moses telling them, now let's line up six on this side and six on that side, and let's play dodgeball with these giant grapes that are on the clusters there. Wouldn't that have been fun? Right? But so they bring back these huge clusters of grapes, and they show, and you know, I always find this interesting. So the land of the people there, and many of them giants, big, tall people, and then we have the Jews, a little people, get to go move into these houses was the way it would be. But they said, no, we can't do it. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb specifically continued to remember God's promises and God's plan. And this is one of those things we want to continue to remember, because even if it takes years for it to come true, God is always faithful. And it's not that he is slow. It's that it's about God's timing. And Peter tells us it's about his patience and how we need to learn patience as well. One way of discerning leadership in others, and I think this is what Moses was doing at this time with Joshua and Caleb, but one way in discerning leadership in others is to place before them a challenge and see who rises to that challenge. And Joshua and Caleb both said, yes, we can do it. Certainly we can do it. Now, really in the grand scheme of things, I think Caleb was looking there at himself at that time as being a 40-year-old man, right? I think he would have probably preferred to go in and conquer the land of Canaan when he was 40 versus 85, but we notice that it didn't stop him one bit, didn't slow him down one bit. Caleb took his stand because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And that's one of the things that if we want to learn anything about Caleb, is he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He believed his promises. Caleb knew of the promises of God to the Israelites, and despite the evidence of his own eyes regarding the obstacles, notice he went in, he saw the giants. He saw how they were mighty in the land, but he did not walk by sight. He walked by faith. So he didn't let his own eyes cause him difficulties. He had faith that God would give them the victory over the Canaanites. Also, later on in Caleb's life, it's one of those things, again, I believe Caleb was charged with arising to the challenge, that later on in his life, he did the same thing. He's like, hey, I need this city to be captured. And so what he does, the city is Kirith Sefer. And what he does is he says, you know what, guys? I've got this daughter. Pretty good looking, right? I will give you to whoever conquers that city, Achsah, as the prize. Well, guess who rose to the occasion? One of the gentlemen that we know as one of the judges. Became the son-in-law to Caleb, Othniel. Othniel arose up, went in and conquered that city, captures the city, given the daughter of Caleb as his wife. So what did Caleb learn through the years from the Lord? If you want somebody If you want to see how somebody can rise to the challenge, then give them a challenge to rise to, and then be faithful in giving them that promise of his daughter. So here's the mission. That was a little bit about the man of Caleb, but here's his mission. And so I've got in this one entitled, "Give Me This Mountain." I really like the King James Version of this portion, if you're reading this, where it'll say, "Give me this mountain." But here's Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. Remember, everyone was promised that they were going to be given the land of Canaan. But this event then now happens after Joshua takes them into the promised land. And it's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but I think it's worth our time to read it. "The sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and for coming in. Now then, give me this mountain about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortitude cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken.' So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war." He went in and took the city, took the mountain, took the hillside, took everyone that was full of giants, the Anakim, and Arba, who was the greatest one of the bunch. And it did not stop him. And we all should have something in our life that as we're working for the Lord, that we can say, "Give me this mountain. For one, God, you promised it to me. For two, God, I've been totally and fully committed to you. Now perhaps you would be with me and help me." We think of something in your life, a big mountain, a big task at hand, some endeavor that you need to set out and you need to say, "The only way I can do this, Lord, is if you help me." But remember, the Lord had already said, "I'll give it to you. You just got to go get it." And here he is, 85 years later, finally given the opportunity to go get it. And what does he do? He goes and does it, takes the mountain, and then that area and that region is at rest from war from that time on. Do we have that same attitude that Caleb has? Maybe if you got a back of your Bible or a paper or something, write down in there your mountain. What's your mountain for 2025? And tell the Lord to give me this mountain that you have promised, that this is for you, that this is for the greater work of the kingdom, that it's not about me, Lord, it's about a promise that you made, that you'll be with me. It's about a promise that I made to you that I will follow you totally. And that's actually our next point, our last point. What is the meaning of all this? To take the attitude that Caleb had and follow completely. The rich young ruler that we learned about this morning could not, would not follow completely. Matthew followed completely. James and John followed completely. Peter and Andrew followed completely. Judas did not. What's your mountain? If you don't have a mountain, then get one. Go find something that is your mountain that you want for the Lord to give you because of His promises and because of yours, and follow Him completely. God honors those who follow wholly or wholeheartedly or completely, those that are sold out. I pray that when it comes to salvation, as Coop talked about this morning in Sunday school, that it's sin, sacrifice, Savior, and salvation, that our salvation, that our hope is only in Jesus Christ, that no one in here has a plan B. That if Jesus Christ does not, cannot, or will not save us, then we are lost. That we are totally sold out for Jesus. That we say to Him, give us this mountain because you made a promise and we want to follow through. We must not only see the realities of this world, but fearlessly obey the Lord. Even though as we look at those obstacles initially, they might be mind-blowing, they might be mind-numbing, they might seem overwhelming, but do not forget the Lord has already promised us the land in which we're going to live. Numbers 14:14. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. We need to have a long-term view of waiting on God to fulfill His promises. We said that find a mountain this year. That doesn't mean you'll be given that mountain this year, but find that mountain this year. Then when the time is right, He'll present and He'll boldly move us forward. Numbers 14:8 says, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. In other words, if Caleb was here today, here's what he'd say. Find your mountain, go get it. And if you decide not to, I'm going to do it anyway. Nothing is going to hold me back. And that's what the church needs, is those that are willing to encourage everyone else to remember to be faithful, to be wholeheartedly, to be sold out for the Lord. Caleb seemed to boast quite a bit. But his boasting was in the Lord. Paul said that. I boast in the Lord. I glory in the cross. But as he boasts in the Lord, he was humble in his heart. Caleb, I think, is a great example for us all. Find that achievement. Find something. Maybe that is talking to a next door neighbor. Maybe it's bringing a family to the Lord this year. Maybe it's raising potential for great things to be done. Whatever it may be, set it in your mind. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Remind Him of the promises that He has made. And you never forget the promises that you've made. And the Lord will be faithful. If you're here today and you're outside of Christ, we want for today, maybe your mountain is, I need to become a Christian. Maybe your mountain that's there for the taking is that I need to put all this worldly stuff behind me, that I've counted the cost, and I've done this good thing, and I've done that good thing, and I've done that good thing, and I've done this good thing. But what you haven't done is put your faith and your trust and your hope ultimately in Jesus. Maybe you know what that mountain is, and that mountain is just submitting to the Lord. We encourage you, if you're here this morning, you're outside of Christ, to believe in Him as your Lord and Savior. To repent of your sin. That sin that causes separation. Right? That sin that causes separation in our life away from God. That we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That we are immersed into Him for the forgiveness of our sins. Arise to walk in the newness of life. And then do our absolute best, just as Caleb did, to live fully for God. Not be a part-time Christian. Not just check the clock when you walk in on Sunday morning. But that it's 24/7, 365 that you live for Jesus. In church, by all means, go out and take that mountain. Will you stand?
Let's sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb?"